closed captioned for the reality impaired. It's the Jerry Bader Show.
.906 from Ed Morrissey, my friend Ed Morrissey at hotair.com. Trump, who cares about that Iowa thing now? Apparently went on Anderson Cooper last night and said, get over it, it's done, get past it. Okie doke. Want to share this one with you off the top, just because I think this is one of the most damned interesting stories that I have seen from anywhere in the world, and it's not from our corner of the world. This posted this morning at the Washington Post. But the story is not news, but for whatever, or new I should say, for whatever reason, it is just now making it to our shores. You listen to this, and you tell me if this doesn't sound like a movie. And you know how we've been talking about how they take inspired by actual events and then they take a real story and they turn it into a story. They completely fictionalize it because the truth isn't dramatic enough, doesn't have a narrative to it. This could be the first one in history where they wouldn't have to touch it. This story is so damned amazing. I think you could just take the news copy that I have here and turn it into a script. Oh, it can't be that good. It is that good. Well, then are you going to tell us about it? Yeah, I suppose I could do that. You know, these conversations with myself are getting a little disturbing even to me. Don't you think so? Yeah, I kind of do. Anyway, this takes place. I can't remember where the actual... Okay, it doesn't matter. This is being reported by ABC, but that's the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. So, let me just read the beginning of this to you. Noela Rocundo sat in a car outside her home, watching as the last few mourners filed out. They were leaving a funeral. Finally, she spotted the man she'd been waiting for. She stepped out of her car, and her husband put his hands on his head in horror. Is it my eyes? She recalled him saying. Is it a ghost? Surprise! I'm still alive! It was her funeral. Far from being elated, the man looked terrified. 5 days earlier, he had ordered a hit on his wife. A team of hitmen to kill Rocundo, his partner, they say, wife, of 10 years. This is absolutely fascinating. Here's what happened. She was in a hotel room. She flew from her home in Melbourne with her husband to attend a funeral in her native Burundi. Okay, so she's in her hotel room in Bujumbura, Burundi, the capital city. I'm sure I mispronounced that. Bujumbura? I don't know. Early in the evening, despondent after the events of the day, she lay down in bed. Then her husband called. He told me to go outside for fresh air. She steps outside of the hotel room, and a man charged forward, pointing a gun at her. Don't scream, she recalled him saying. If you start screaming, I'll shoot you. They're going to catch me, but you will already be dead. So she did what she was told. She was blindfolded, put in a car. After about 40 minutes, it came to a stop. She was pushed into a building and tied to a chair. Does this not sound like it's out of a damn movie? She could hear male voices. One asked her, you woman, what did you do for this man to pay us to kill you? She's like, what the hell are you talking about? Belenga sent us to kill you. They were lying. She told them so, and they laugh. You're a fool, they told her. So they called the guy. Put it on speaker. There's her husband. Kill her, he said. Rukundo fainted. She met her husband 11 years earlier than they tell their whole marriage story, which, okay. So, she comes to. She passes out and she comes to. The kidnappers are still there. And they say, look, relax. We're not going to kill you. We can't do this. We're going to take his money, but we're not going to kill you. But they are, we will tell him you're dead. After 2 days, they set her free on the side of the road, gave her a cell phone, recordings of their conversations with the guy, and receipts for $7,000 in Australian dollars they allegedly received in payment. So they, okay, I want you to think about this. Are they good guys or not? Are they good guys or not? What would really good guys have done? Called the authorities as soon as they were approached to kill his wife. They decided to have their cake and eat it too. Take the $7,000, but provide her, and I don't even know what 7,000 Australian dollars, I have no idea what the rate of exchange is with U.S. dollars right now. They decide, well, let's take this idiot's money and provide her with all the evidence she needs to convict this guy. We just want you to go back to tell other stupid women like you what happened. Rukundo said she was told before the gang members drove away. Shaken but alive and doggedly determined, Rukundo began plotting her next move. She sought help from the Kenyan and Belgian embassies to return to Australia. Then she called the pastor of her church in Melbourne and explained to him what happened. Without alerting Kalala, the pastor helped her get back home to her neighborhood near Melbourne. Meanwhile, her husband had told everyone she died in a tragic accident, and the entire community mourned her at her funeral at the family home. At the night of February 22, 2015, on that night, just as the widower Kalala waved goodbye to neighbors who had come to comfort him, Rukundo approached him. The very man whose voice she had heard over the phone 5 days earlier, ordering that she be killed. Though Kalala initially denied all involvement, Rukundo got him to confess to the crime during a phone conversation that was secretly recorded. That's about 5,000 American. That, with all of the other evidence, he pled guilty, sentenced to 9 years in prison. The two things that jump out at me on this story. One is, again, somewhere in this story, they speak highly of the kidnappers. Was made possible by three unusually principled hitmen. While they are unusually principled for hitmen, okay. Earl says, is there a campaign to free him? You're going to be shocked by this next part. Not that he was framed, but there's a shocking cultural element to this. But her trials are not over yet. Rukundo told the ABC, that's the Australian broadcasting, she's gotten backlash from Melbourne's Congolese community for reporting Kalala to the police. Someone left threatening messages for her, and she returned home one day to find her back door broken. She now has 8 children to raise alone and has asked the Department of Human Services to help her find a new place. And lying in bed at night, Kalala's voice still comes to her. Kill her. Kill her. Every night I see what was happening in those 2 days with the kidnappers. The Congolese community in Melbourne says a wife shouldn't turn her husband in that way. Ponder that, if you will. Ponder that. Wow. Now that you've heard, and I didn't read it exactly the way it's written in the Washington Post. What would you have to change to turn that into a movie? Nothing. I mean nothing. It is just absolutely a tremendously stunning story. All right, still to come in the show, tomorrow's Ronald Reagan Day in Wisconsin, February 6th. And I know you've heard parts of this speech before, but I'm going to play you a few parts of what's perhaps his most famous speech decades before he was president of the United States. And killing the low-income worker at Walmart. It's 9:17.
Join the Jerry Bader Facebook fan page. Go to jerrybadershow.com.